Hello, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Welcome to Derek Prince Legacy Radio.
Derek Prince Legacy Radio, a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries, bringing you the very best from the vast teaching archive of author and Bible teacher Derek Prince. Your guide to the Derek Prince legacy is New York Times best-selling author and speaker, Stephen Mansfield.
I hope you've been with us all week. Derek Prince has been teaching us about 12 steps to a good year. And I love being part of this because I believe the last few days of a year ought to be a time of introspection, of self-examination, of realignment. I believe in New Year's resolutions if they're done in faith and biblically. And that's what we're talking about today. Derek is teaching us from the great "Let Us" statements of Hebrews and using them as sort of a key to aligning us for the new year, telling us that we actually can control a good deal of what happens to us. This is biblical. You know, there are things you do and then things result. And that's something we want to contemplate as the new year opens up. We want to repent of our sins, close out the old year cleanly, align ourselves with a vision for the new year, hear the voice of God for what we ought to be doing in the new year. I got to tell you, I want 2007 to be a great year. I don't mind telling you from my personal life, I'm getting married in January. And so I'm excited about making 2007 a great year spiritually. So 2007 can be a year that's really the best you've ever had if you'll just allow God to show you how to take hold of His Word to accomplish great things. Let's get right to it and listen as Derek teaches us about God's 12-step program, 12 Steps to a Good Year.
Today we're going to look at the sixth resolution. It's found in Hebrews chapter 10, and we need to read verses 19 through 22 in order to get the context. It's interesting to me that almost every one of these resolutions that we've been reading together begins with "therefore." In other words, it indicates the logical unfolding of a sequence of thought. And I think each major step in the practical application of this sequence is expressed in one of these "let us" statements. Going back then to Hebrews 10:19 through 22, "Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, His body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water." I want to contrast with that the fourth resolution that we've already looked at, which was, "Let us draw near to the throne of grace." But this one says, "Let us draw near to God." And we have to understand it in the context. It's directly related to the statement in verse 19 of Hebrews chapter 10, "Since we have confidence to enter the most holy place." Then it says, "Let us draw near to God." To me, it's clear that drawing near to God is equivalent to entering the most holy place. So I'd like to compare these two statements. "Let us draw near to the throne" means that we are to come for the help we need for mercy and grace. But "let us draw near to the holy place," to God Himself, I think takes us much further. I believe the suggestion is not merely that we come to the throne for help, but that we're invited to take our place with Christ on the throne. That's entering in to the most holy place. And that passage also tells us that we're to come by a new and living way. What's the new and living way? The new and living way is Jesus. We're to come exactly the same way that He came. Speaking about our entrance into the most holy place, our approaching the mercy seat and the throne, the writer of Hebrews says there are four requirements. First, a sincere heart. Second, full assurance of faith. Third, our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. And fourth, our bodies washed with pure water. Let's look very briefly at each of those requirements. First, a sincere heart. We approach God with our heart, not with our head. God is not the answer to an intellectual riddle, but He does meet a longing heart. But it has to be also a sincere heart. We have to come without any pretensions, without hypocrisy. We have to expose ourselves to God just as we are and not try to cover up anything or pretend to be different than we are. We've got to be open and honest with God. The second condition, full assurance of faith. In the next chapter of Hebrews, the scripture says in Hebrews 11:6, without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe. So we've got to come with our faith in God's faithfulness, not in our own ability or righteousness, but with absolute faith in God's faithfulness. Thirdly, we're to have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. An evil conscience comes from wrong and sinful deeds that we have committed in the past. But through the blood of Jesus, we can receive assurance that all those evil deeds in the past have been forgiven and that our hearts are pure from sin. So we can have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience through the blood of Jesus. The fourth condition is our bodies washed with pure water. In the first epistle of John, John tells us Jesus came by water and by blood. There we see both elements, the blood that sprinkles from an evil conscience, the water that washes our bodies. I believe myself that water is Christian baptism. And Christian baptism, in every place where it's explained in the New Testament, is sharing in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So the new and living way is Jesus. It's coming and partaking of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. We are to be identified with everything that Jesus went through after he died from our sins. Listen to what Paul says in Ephesians 2:4-6. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ when we were dead in transgressions, and raised us up with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. Notice the three stages of identification with Jesus. First, made alive. Second, raised up or resurrected. And third, seated with him. Where is Jesus seated? On the throne. So what does it mean to be seated with him? It means to be enthroned, to share the throne with him. You see, once we see our identification with Jesus, we're invited to follow him all the way. He is the new and living way. We can be made alive with him. We can be resurrected with him. But we don't need to stop there. We can be enthroned with him. You see, in the pattern of the tabernacle, the first curtain, I believe, represents what we enter into through sharing in the resurrection of Jesus. But the second curtain that leads to the holy place represents what we enter into through sharing in the ascension of Jesus. Jesus was not merely resurrected, but subsequently he was raised up to heaven to the throne. And that's where God wants us. God doesn't want us to stop short in this new and living way till we've reached the throne and we're sharing the throne with Jesus, seated with him in heavenly places. That's our destination. Let's make it our resolution this year that we'll not stop short of the place where God wants us to come.
You know, Derek has just put his finger on one of my greatest desires for the new year, and I hope it's yours as well, that I'm able to draw near to the holy place. He's offering us relationship. He's calling us to himself. And for 2007, I want to know him. I want to be a man acquainted with his presence. I know you do too. There's so much more great stuff to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
Derek Prince once said that it contained some of the most life-changing and practical messages God had ever given him. He made that remarkable statement about a special book he titled Transformed for Life. And here at the threshold of a new year, those truths are especially relevant. You see, far too many of God's people struggle to make vital changes in their lives. Resolutions are quickly broken. Resolve turns to weakness. A familiar cycle of defeat leads to discouragement and resignation. But as Derek points out in this important book, it doesn't have to be that way. In Transformed for Life, you'll discover that God is your Father, and his love for you is extravagant. You'll also find out how to develop a close personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you'll learn how to turn lingering disappointments into God appointments. Order your copy of Transformed for Life now for only $12.95. Call toll-free 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. You can break free from the things that weigh you down and live the life God has planned for you. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Or order your copy securely online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Hope you've been with us for this whole series. Derek Prince is talking to us about 12 steps to a good year. And it's such solid biblical information about how we can help shape 2007. So it's a marvelous time in the presence of God. Let's listen as Derek teaches us about the 12 steps to a good year.
Today, we're going to look at the seventh step. It, too, is found in Hebrews chapter 10, like the previous step. This is in Hebrews 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We need to go back over this theme of confession as it's presented in Hebrews and see how we've arrived at this statement in Hebrews 10. Confession means saying the same as God. Confessing, then, our faith is saying the same with our mouth as God says in His Word. It's making the words of our mouth agree with the written Word of God in every point. As we advance in the spiritual life, our confession comes closer and closer to complete agreement with the Word of God in every area of our lives. I pointed out also that it's through our confession that we are linked to Jesus as our high priest. One of the main themes of Hebrews is that Jesus is our high priest in heaven. He's there on our behalf in the presence of God the Father to represent us, to present our petitions, to intercede on our behalf, and to make good every right confession that we make. This is brought out in Hebrews 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession. Hebrews 4:14 says, since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. And then in Hebrews 10:23, the step that we've looked at today, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Notice what's been added. Without wavering. So you see, if we look through these passages of Hebrew in the correct order, we find that in the respect of our confession, there are three successive stages. First, we make the confession. Secondly, having made it, we hold fast, we don't change. And thirdly, we hold it fast without wavering. Why do you think that without wavering is put in? What does it imply? Well, I don't know what it implies to you, but I know what it implies to me. And it implies this to me not merely on logic, but on the basis of personal experience. It implies that when we make the right confession, we're going to encounter negative forces and pressures that will come against us. And even though we've made the right confession and we've been holding it fast, there may come a time when the pressures increase and it seems all the forces of Satan and all the powers of darkness are turned loose against us. And then what's the temptation? To let go of our confession. But the writer says, don't let go, hold fast, without wavering. The darker the situation, the greater the problems, the more the pressures, the more important it is to hold fast, without wavering. Because he who promised is faithful. You may feel you've lost sight of God. You may feel he's behind the clouds. You don't know where he is. You don't know what he's doing. But the scripture says he's faithful. Whether you see him, whether you don't see him, whether you understand or whether you don't understand, he's faithful. He's committed to his word. He's our high priest. If we will only hold fast our confession without wavering, he'll do his job as our high priest. Compare this simple statement in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. You see, there's an opposition between faith and sight. The natural man walks by sight. He trusts his senses. He believes only in what his senses tell him. But in the Christian life, in the spiritual life, we don't trust our senses. We don't walk by our senses. We walk by faith. Faith relates us to an unseen, eternal realm where things don't change. The world of the senses is always changing. It's temporary, it's unstable, it's impermanent, it's unreliable. But through faith, we relate to a different world, a world of eternal things, eternal realities, eternal truth. And as we relate to that world by faith, we hold fast our confession without wavering. You see, the pressures that God permits to come in our lives, determine whether we're trusting our senses or our faith. If we change our confession because of the darkness, then we're going by our senses and not by faith. See, for faith, there's no darkness. Faith doesn't rely on the senses. Faith sees with an inner spiritual eye into a realm that doesn't change and to a high priest who's unchangeable. Just listen to what James says in this connection, because this is so important. So many Christians fail at this point. They make a confession, they hold it fast, but when the pressures build up, they don't hold it fast without wavering. Listen to what James says in chapter 1 of his epistle, verses 6 through 8. But when a believer asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. There's the man who wavers. He started to ask, he started to pray, he started to believe, but he doesn't hold fast without wavering. He's tossed to and fro, blown about by the winds and the waves, and the scripture says, and this is a very solemn warning, that man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. So there's one way to forfeit our blessings, to lose the benefit of Christ's ministry on our behalf as our high priest, and that is to waver. The remedy, hold fast your confession without wavering.
Boy, I hope you're having a chance to write this material down. Derek said there are three successive stages in making a confession. We make the confession. Having made it, we hold fast, meaning we don't change, we stand firm, and we hold it fast without wavering, without changing how we view the things that we have confessed and declared. There's so much more great stuff to come as Derek Prince Legacy Radio continues.
This new year brings new opportunities to make the next 12 months your best ever, if you maintain a positive, word-based focus. Now, Derek Prince Ministries wants to help you do just that by sending you a free proclamation card. This companion to the 12 Steps to a Good Year series is the perfect reminder of God's important and powerful place in your life, each and every day. Derek adapted this powerful New Year's proclamation from specific Bible promises, and we'd love to send you that very proclamation on a card you can carry in your Bible. We believe God will use it to stir your confidence and put the unfailing power of the Word to work in your circumstances. For your free copy, simply call us toll-free at 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. Take that first step and call now. 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771 or visit us online at derekprince.org.
Welcome back to Derek Prince Legacy Radio. I'm Stephen Mansfield. Great to have you with us. Hope you've been listening to this marvelous series that Derek has been doing on 12 Steps to a Good Year. And as part of making this next year a great year, Dave Holland's in the studio with me today. Dave's one of the producers of the show, one of my good friends. And we've been talking about year-end giving. We've been talking about this great movement, really, that is Derek Prince Ministries. And we're looking forward to having more chat with Dave today about that. Dave, thanks for being with us.
Oh, it's always a pleasure, Stephen. Good to be here.
Now, it's easy for me to ask questions because there's stuff I genuinely don't know. I'm not just setting this up for our listeners. Derek Prince Ministries is a pretty huge organization. Without getting too specific and big fat crayon numbers, give me some sense of what we're talking about financially. You know, people might be listening and thinking, well, you know, it only takes a few donors to help support this radio show or what have you. What are we talking about? What size are we talking about in terms of accounting and numbers and all that stuff that I don't know much about?
Well, we're talking about an organization with national reach and international reach. It's been around for decades and has a budget of several million dollars. This radio program is off to a great start, but we want to expand it. We want to make it available in more and more markets, and that will the price tag on that just for airtime alone is hundreds of thousands of dollars. It is no small operation. It's a well-run operation, very accountable. As a matter of fact, Derek Prince Ministries is a member of the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability, the ECFA. And to be a member of the ECFA, you have to adhere to very strict transparency policies, accounting policies, making sure you have a responsible independent board. Essentially, to carry the ECFA seal of approval, you have to be very transparent and very responsible in the way you handle your money.
Well, and this raises a question, too, because, you know, so many people are cynical about giving to ministries because some big figure is living in some huge mansion and flying around in jets. But in this case, not only is the lead figure gone on with the Lord, but there's a great deal of simple living and financial accountability and desire to really invest the money in the kingdom. And so there's, I don't mean to brag on us necessarily, but there's kind of a purity to this that maybe sometimes hasn't been there in other ministries. Is that right?
It does make it very clean. Derek Prince Ministries is in a unique situation. As you say, there's no man's empire to be built here because the man has gone on to be with the Lord. And it's simply about carrying on the work and reaching more people with things that are will transform their lives and help them be better believers.
Now, we were talking yesterday about what's going on in the world. And when people give to Derek Prince Ministries, we already know that they're giving to all sorts of things, China and Russia and Chechnya and what have you. But in terms of the way that people give, you urge them to give at the end of the year because it can help the ministry sort of align for the new year, but also because it can help them on their taxes. Now, that's not something I'm real clear about. Can you just maybe reiterate that a little bit?
Well, sure. I'm not a CPA either, but people can seek out their financial advisors and they will validate this. In addition to cash gifts at the end of the year, which are always welcome and for most people are fully tax deductible, there are some other creative ways that you can support this ministry. One would be a gift of appreciated assets like stocks or real estate. We happen to be in an environment now where people who purchased real estate several years ago have seen a lot of appreciation in those real estate holdings. Stocks have continued to go up. And people may be holding on to assets that have appreciated significantly that they either have just liquidated or they're about to liquidate. Now, those are subject to some fairly stiff capital gains taxes. And as a matter of fact, with a new Congress in place, those capital gains taxes may actually be going up. What many people don't realize is that they can donate those appreciated assets, and there's a very significant, for many people, a very significant tax advantage for doing so. Of course, ultimately, that can't be the primary motivation for doing so. It's a kingdom motivation. It's a heart for ministry. It's a heart for reaching people and for appreciating a ministry that's blessing them. But when you add that to that, on top of that kingdom motivation, the fact that there is a very sound, compelling tax case for donating appreciated assets like real estate or securities, it makes it doubly exciting, and now is the time to think about that.
Okay, I'm an idiot when it comes to all this stuff. Is there somebody at DPM who can help me understand how to give effectively if I had stock or if I had, you know, cattle or whatever it is? Is there somebody who can say, here's how you can do this to help the ministry?
Absolutely. There absolutely is. You can call the ministry anytime, and they will put you in touch with the right person who can speak that language and understands and can help you explore your situation. And again, you'll want to get that validated by your financial planner. But do call the ministry and ask about it. And you can reach them at 800-448-3261.
Dave, great having you with us as always.
Oh, my pleasure.
Listen, I want to just say to those listening now, you will not be hearing my voice again until it's 2007. And so we want you to know that at Derek Prince Ministries, we pray that 2007 is just an astonishing year for you, that it is a marvelous time of God's presence, God's blessing. That really is the focus of everything that we do here, to try to pump the Word of God and the truths of God into people's lives so they can live the destined, prosperous lives on earth they're meant to live. We're so thankful that you're here, so thankful that you're listening. Happy New Year to you. Again, may 2007 be the best year ever. For everyone at Derek Prince Ministries, I'm Stephen Mansfield. Join us again on Monday and in 2007 as the legacy continues.
Take a moment right now to order your own copy of Transformed for Life for only $12.95 when you call 800-448-3261. That's 800-448-3261. In Canada, call 888-737-0771. And be sure to ask for your free proclamation card outlining Derek's 12 Steps to a Good Year featured during this week's series. It's our special gift to you. Call 800-448-3261. The call and the proclamation card are both free. 800-448-3261. Or in Canada, call 888-737-0771. And of course, you can send your support securely online at derekprince.org. Derek Prince Legacy Radio is a broadcast outreach of Derek Prince Ministries and produced in association with Audio Aviators. For more information about anything heard on today's program, visit us on the web at derekprince.org. That's derekprince.org.